Morning, mate.
Yeah, pal.
Yeah, you.
Good.
Hey, Barry, you all right?
Hey, Rob.
I'm great, yeah. Are you talking to someone else? Are you talking to me?
I'm not talking to you.
No, I thought you were talking to someone. That seemed a little bit friendly.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Right, so we've only got three matches to do, haven't we? So we'll...
So that should take an hour and a half.
This is the William Hill Rugby League Podcast.
Welcome along, Challenge Cup semi-final weekend. It doesn't get much better than this, does it? Two interesting looking ties, one that looks a little bit lopsided. And we've also got Wakefield versus Leeds, a catch-up game from earlier in the season in Super League. The two men looking at these three games, Barry McDermott and Terry O'Connor. Morning, chaps.
Morning, mate. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Birthday week for Barry, it's been. Happy birthday, Barry.
Did you know, and I was reminded of this, that McDermott in Gaelic means son of the king. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
Well, there you go.
Son of the king.
I'm sure my dad's delighted.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So you're Prince Barry, basically, yeah. in this week of princes.
Yeah, I'm Prince Barry and Teddy's Prince Albert.
You know what? That, I actually think
it's pretty good. That, to be fair,
rubbish. That, because if you look at the coat of arms and you look at the history of O'Connor, who was the last king of Ireland, you will see that McDermott was a slave who used to work for him, and that is genuine.
No, what you'll find is that McDermott was the clan. McDermott was the clan that the O'Connors called on when they couldn't win the battle.
Actually,
so as per usual,
actually, no, it wasn't about the clan. It was, we called you to shovel out of the horse's mess. That's what it was, the stable.
Horses.
The McDermotts came in to win
now
the war because the O'Connors couldn't. Anyway, come on, let's move on.
McDermott to shovel the crap. Whatever they call it.
Move on.
Yeah. It was a nice little history lesson. We've had Barry does maths, now we could have Barry does history. You know, there's endless opportunities with this podcast.
There's endless opportunities for me to prove how unintelligent I really am.
Let's start. We'll do this chronologically, shall we? Let's do the Super League game first on Friday night. That means, like, in date order, by the way. Wakey versus Leeds is the Super League catch-up match. Big news for Leeds, of course, is that Kevin Sinfield will be back for this one. We wondered if he'd make an appearance last weekend. As it is, it's this weekend. Wakey on the odds are 11-5 to win this match and the 80 minutes. It's 8-15 for Leeds. On the handicaps, it means Wakefield have got an 8-point start. It's becoming a bit of a cliche almost now, isn't it? But Wakey really do turn it on against Leeds, don't they? I mean, we've seen quite a few matches between the two of them, and they always tend to be close, Barry, don't they? I don't know what it is. The Leeds fans would say it's that kind of small town in inverted commas syndrome, small city syndrome. I'm not sure the Wakefield fans would agree with that, but they do raise their game, don't they?
Absolutely. There's always a lot of ex-Leeds players in the system at Wakefield, and whether it's in the juniors or whether it's in the first team, the natural place for players who leave the Rhinos for one reason or another is your Castleford, your Wakefields and the likes of that. I'm just interested in getting your thoughts on who you were explaining chronological to. Were you explaining it and the meaning of it to our listeners, or were you explaining it to me? Because I know what chronological means.
Chronological. Anyway, I was just saying it to anyone who was listening to me who wasn't sure of the meaning of the word, and I apologise if I patronised anyone along the way.
Right. Well, don't patronise me.
I wouldn't dream of patronising either of you two.
Lee, the other thing you patronise me about is the people from Wakefield.
I'm not. Well, I would never say that.
You're jealous of people in Leeds.
No, well, no, I didn't say that. I said Leeds people tend to think that is the case, but Wakefield fans would obviously disagree with that. Whatever the case is, that is it quite a unique situation. We've got a game to judge this on last week. You know, it's a strange one, isn't it? 2018.
Leeds,
I mean, they almost lost it, didn't they, Barry?
Yeah, they were. Leeds were made to fight really hard, and it was only a Rob Burrell conversion that separated the two teams in the end. Wakefield, and I can think back to last year on one of the Monday night games where they gave Leeds a toweling, they gave them a good hiding. The previous fixture, or the same year, the reverse of the fixture at home was a 40-odd 40-odd points each where Leeds came out on the victorious side, but nobody walked away happy with that. So there's always an interest and a fascination in them games. I'm really looking forward to the atmosphere, because there was 18,000 fans over at Headingley, and there were lots of Wakefield fans, lots of travelling fans. I'm expecting the Wakefield fans to match that this weekend, and there'd be an 8,000 to 10,000 crowd. In fact, I'd like to put a bet on that, please, if I could, Lee. If I could put a bet on the crowd between 8,000 and 10,000, what odds would you give me?
Oh, I couldn't possibly hazard a guess, but I'll certainly ask the men who make the odds for you, Barry, and see what...
Could I just make that bet with you?
No, I'd like to do a little bit of research before I actually give my money over to you.
That's I'll bet right. you a pound.
All right, a pound. Let's have a pound. Pound. Okay, we'll do a pound. I can do a pound.
I'll bet you the crowd is between 8,000 and 10,000.
And I can get under 8 as well. So I get under 8, do I, basically?
You can have under 8, yeah. Thanks. Definitely. Anyway, in terms of the game, I'm going to go for a Leeds victory. The handicap is about right, actually, 8 to 10 points. But I'll go on the side because it's good weather and it's likely to be a good atmosphere, and because of the way they performed last week, Kevin Sinfield coming back, I'm going to go for Leeds to look after the handicap as well.
Very good, Terry. We spoke about Kevin Sinfield. If he came back last week, how much would that matter? And obviously, you know, you said, you know, a lot. Obviously, how many points is it worth? I guess is the thing that we've got to figure out, because they only won by 2 points last week, and it was a 14-point start for Wakefield. So Wakefield stayed well within that handicap. Only 8 this week, obviously, because Wakey are at home. How do you balance it up? Is Sinfield worth points to this Leeds side?
Well, Kevin Sinfield is worth between 8 and 10 points anyway, isn't he? Just with his boots.
Yeah.
And that's been conservative, realistically. If you look at what he brings to the team in attack, the direction he gives them and the way Leeds his side around, I think that could be worth another 12 points. So Kevin Sinfield's very influential within that side. As everyone will tell you, who either coaches against Leeds or players against Leeds, that probably two of the main threats that they have would be Jamie Peacock, of what he does, and when he talks, people listen. We talked about that last week, but Kevin Sinfield, just the overall leadership that he has. excuse me. I think if you look at the last week's result, Wakefield will get an awful lot of confidence from that. They will go into this game playing at home in front of a packed house, knowing that if they've gone to Headingley, oh, so be it that Kevin was missing, and they've narrowly been defeated by 2 points, I think they'll feel confident enough that they can do a job on them. This time last year, they actually beat them, didn't they? In that amazing run that they had towards the back end of the year, where it was 7 or 8 wins on the bounce that they achieved to get into the top 8. So I'm pretty confident that with the start that Wakefield have, that they will maybe not win the game, but it'll be a close encounter, and they'll stay within the points that William Hill have given them. Yeah. For Leeds Rhinos, I think that I look at the side, I look at the youngsters, the valuable experience they've got, the players that are coming back into form, and we're getting to that time of year where Leeds, no matter where they finish, they can turn it on and get to the dizzy heights in the grand final, shall we say. I'm expecting this to be a tough game, but I'm going to go with Wakefield, not to win the game, but to stay within the handicap.
Very good.
As well, healthy.
Yes.
I would even go that bet one bit further, and I would say, because of the crowd last week down in Headingley, I would say that this crowd would be between 13 and 16,000.
Wow. Well, I've got either or, so I'm happy.
What would you take off me for that?
I'll have a pound with you.
Well, mine.
So I've got basically I've got under 8 and between 10 and 13, haven't I?
Between 13 and 16.
Yeah, you're 13, 16. Barry's 8 and 10. I've got everything else. So I'm all right. Yeah, we'll see. Just a very quick one, guys, before we get into the Challenge Cup. We don't have to spend too much time on it, but there's been a bit of chat this week, obviously, after Wigan lost and Huddersfield took over the top of the table. Huddersfield now 7-4 to win the regular season, the League Leaders' Shield. Wigan 5-4, Warrington 9-4. Can Huddersfield hang on, in a word?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's good. I like that. And obviously odds available on the grand final as well. Wigan 13-8 to win the grand final. 7-4 Warrington. 11-2 Leeds. 6-1 Huddersfield. 12-1 St Helens. Then you get to 40-1 and bigger the rest of them. You get a third of the odds for a place in the final. After that, after Monday, I got sucked into St Helens. I backed them at 22-1 to each way to so basically trying to get into the final. But starting to show signs, aren't they, guys? St Helens again. I know it's a weakened Wigan side, but showing signs of coming back to their best.
Do you know what you say? A weakened Wigan side. Well, weakened because what? Sam Tompkins, Sean O'Loughlin, yeah. Harrison Hanson. Now you've got three players there. I think that is when people say a weakened side. I think they've been a bit disrespectful to us St Helens. Look at the players that are missing St Helens.
Yeah, there just seems to be. I don't know if it's a psychological thing with Sam Tompkins or not, Tess, but there just seems to be something missing when Tompkins doesn't play, doesn't
there? Yeah, there does. Probably one of the world's best.
Yeah,
players.
Of course. Yeah, but I mean, maybe psychologically as well. No.
When James Orby doesn't play for St Helens, it's something psychological missing there. When you have a lad who's come in from Salford who wasn't given a chance there or was shown the door there, but who's picked up by St Helens. Mm. I think that we look into as spectators and people in the media, we look into why they've lost instead of why. We look into why they've lost, who was missing, instead of looking at the other side and saying this is why they've won. At the end of the day, St Helens won that game fairly and squarely, and I think a couple of calls went against them, and Wigan will come back stronger. And you talk about Huddersfield and can they go on to lift the title? Well, it's in their hands, isn't it? They've got a big game against Wigan on the 9th of August at the DW Stadium. You look at Wigan's last remaining games, they've got four of them at home, one of them away, so... It's very interesting, but this is what we want in Super League.
Indeed. Let's have a look at these Challenge Cup semi-finals, shall we? Saturday, 5 o'clock, first of all, on BBC. It's the London Broncos versus the Wigan Warriors. Wigan are 50-1 on to win this match. So a quid back if you're willing to risk your 50. Easy way to win. Probably an easier way to win a quid than betting against you two on the crowd at Wakey. London are 16-1. It's 50-1 the draw. So London get a 26-point start in this semi-final. Obviously, the week before a semi-final, there's a lot of chat from the teams about how much they want to get to Wembley, and we've heard a lot of that from the Broncos fans. How it'd be a dream come true to get to the Challenge Cup final. Wigan, by contrast, they're all about not being beaten by the Minnows like they have been in the past. There's been a bit of chat about the Catalan win back in 2007. Obviously, the Sheffield win is the one that looms largest in people's minds when you think about Wigan and the Challenge Cup. The first thing I think of here, Tez, is that if this was a Super League match, I'm not sure London would only have a 26-point start. I would have thought it'd be near 36, maybe even 40, the way they're playing and the way we know Wigan can play, and the fact that they either rested players or didn't risk players last week. Wigan can beat London by more than 26 points, can't they?
Yeah, well, I'd say that, and I'm sure Basil will agree with me here, or I think he will, that the psyche of a player when they're going into the semi-final of the Cup, it's totally different. The preparation, the excitement, probably apprehensive as well, but knowing that the pressure's on them. The pressure's all on Wigan. It's not really on London, although I think there may be a bit of pressure on James Sherwood because this was the game that he was brought over for. This was the game that hopefully will get London into a final if you're a London Broncos fan. Probably the worrying thing for me regarding London when you go into this is that I'm looking forward for them building and going forward as a club, and they still haven't got home for next year. There's 12 players out of contract. Players are playing for their livelihoods, and it seems that it's all going to be right on this game, and then we'll hear what's going to happen with the Broncos. But for Tony Rea, for David Hughes, you want them to do well. You want the players to do well, but I just can't see them sticking with this Wigan side. As you say, they'll bring Harrison Hanson back, Sean O'Loughlin, Sam Tompkins, world-class players, and the start, in my own opinion, is nowhere near enough. I watched London when they played against Widnes last week, and they were poor. They were very poor. Anyone who watched that game, there was mistakes from both sides. London didn't take the chances, neither did Widnes. But you look at Wigan, and they are a side that take the chances. They're just relentless in the way that they play. The structures, the systems, it doesn't change no matter who goes in there. And I would imagine that Wigan will run away with this game because it's about getting excited. And if you get a team likes of Wigan excited about playing the game and looking forward to it, with the star-studded lineup that they've got, I just can't see London sticking with them.
Yeah, and Barry, the worst thing that could have happened to London is Saints beating Wigan, isn't it, really? I mean, they've already beaten them 64-6 at home. this season. Wigan, obviously, I say London were at home, lost 64-6, so lost 48-18 at Wigan, London. Can you make any argument that London can stay within the handicap or win the game?
I concur with London putting all their eggs in one basket because this literally is their season on the line. There's nothing else to play for other than avoiding the wooden spoon. And if this semi-final comes off and they manage to get into the final, then it's a case of it was a decent season, so they put their eggs, the bacon, the beans, the sausages, fried bread, ash brown, fried tomato.
Oh, stop it! I'm getting hungry here. Sounds good.
They put everything in the basket here, and there are rumours that if this doesn't go well, then London Broncos could be under some pressure. Externally and internally as well, in the form of the players and whether their motivation to stay is there to see the season out. So Wigan are a fabulous side. The worst thing for London is for the Wigan club to go into this semi-final with the extra motivation of not doubling up defeats. So it could end up being 3,000-0. It seems highly unlikely that it's going to be that high. But if Wigan get a bee in their bonnet, then it could be a hefty scoreline. I'm hoping for the good of the London Broncos and the game itself that it's a close affair, hard fought, passionate. Close contest, and so we'll just have to wait and see. The optimist in me and the dreamer in me wants it to be a 26-24 victory to Wigan, but the realist in me is probably fearing a slightly bigger scoreline.
Yeah, I'm just looking for the handicap for the previous game that they both played. Just can't find it at the minute, but I'll keep looking to see what it was before the end of the podcast, just to compare and contrast what it was when they lost 64-6. In the meantime, though, let's have a look at Hull versus Warrington, which is on Sunday. Hull with a 12-point start here at home against Warrington. The odds for the actual match see Warrington at 1-4 and Hull at 3-1. Well, when you look at the results this season, Warrington beat Hull 24-10. At their place, but the reverse fixture was a victory for Hull. By no means had it their own way. It was 26-16. Hull beat them at Warrington, which means this is up in the air a little bit. I mean, Warrington have improved a lot since then, and I suppose Hull have gone off the boil a bit, Barry. But we were talking, I think it was last week, about teams seem to be able to turn the form tap on and off when it comes to league and cup form. I don't know how they do it or why it happens, but are Hull reserving their best for the Challenge Cup?
Well, that's actually one of the great mysteries of sport, that the inconsistency of performances. That's what coaches search for. They coach for that routine and that rhythm, the rhythm of a game. When a team's on form and in that mythological zone, it's a pleasure to watch and a pleasure to be part of that group. If it's on the other way and you think, well, geez, where did that come from? We didn't train like that in the week and we didn't play like that last week. It's a bit of a head scratcher. So we were at that game when Hull gave Warrington a bit of a lesson, really. Warrington were in second or third gear. They were going through that wobbly period, and Hull were victorious on that day by merit. Not just the fact that Warrington didn't play well, it was Hull were methodical in what they were doing. The kicking game was good. Danny Houghton was exceptional, and the youngsters, the young players that we've been raving about all year, Tom Lynham and Ben Crooks, were right at the fore in that game. I don't see it being the same. I think they can stay inside the handicap. Ben Crooks is likely to be missing for this game and a good few after that, so that obviously weakens them. Daniel Holdsworth is crucial, and if he's part of this game, if he's really gets the bit between his teeth in this game, then again they can really push and put pressure on Warrington, because once Warrington get one try, having watched the game against Hull KR they played last weekend, as we do when we review the games, they were a formidable side. Their go forward was good, their offloads were good, and once they offloaded from that broken defensive line, it were bang, 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 and tries were scored. Ben Crooks scored two very impressive tries. So I'm expecting Warrington to win. But again, the optimist in me, the dreamer in me, wants it to be a tight contest underneath the handicap, because I think Hull will really fancy this.
I get the feeling, though, Tez, that the way the form lines are at the moment, I know cup football changes things and the home crowd will be massive for Hull, but I get the feeling Hull have to perform at their very best and Warrington can probably perform a little bit below theirs to win this game. Is that fair?
You're probably right, Matt. You look at both sides and the form of Warrington, is it 7 or 8 games they've won on the bounce? And not just one, but one convincingly. I think Warrington are probably the form side at the minute, or one of them, along with Huddersfield. I look at what Hull have, and the run that they went on was absolutely exceptional until they had that bit of a splutter in the south of France. But you look at the points for and against. Defensively, Hull FC, I think they're probably fourth or fifth best defensive team in the competition. But as in scoring points, they're down there one of the worst. I think they're down around 11th or 12th. You don't expect that from a top side. Normally, it's the other way around for a lot of teams down the bottom end of the table, where they can score points but they can't defend. Well, Hull FC can defend but they can't score points. And playing against Warrington, you've got to make sure that you take your chances, and you can't go out there. And I'm sure that Peter Gentle will be talking to his players, and the players know they can't go out there to defend, hoping to get to the semi-final when you play against Warrington. You've got to take your chances. You've got to take some risks as well, but you've got to be prepared to back those risks up if you make an error. If I look at the sides and I look who do I think is going to win, I would have to say Warrington on current form. Because they can defend, they can attack. And I know that Hull FC can defend, but I'm not so sure whether they'll be able to score enough points against Warrington. And as Barry's already thought about, with Ben Crooks not playing, that strike on the right edge has gone, and whether Daniel Holdsworth makes this game. You've got everybody more or less fit in the Warrington camp, apart from Richie Myler. I don't think he'll make this game again. So the form book says go with Warrington, and I would imagine looking at the league table and the points for and against, that suggests as well you take Warrington.
Very good. Let's get a bet of the week. Last week, Barry, we couldn't quite get hold of you, could we? So we didn't get a bet of the week from you.
Did you pick it?
No, I didn't actually, because I thought we were going to get hold of you, obviously. So,
do you know what I was going to pick?
It wasn't your fault, by the way. What were you going to pick, sorry?
Saints.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's crazy.
It is amazing.
Yeah, should we give him it, Tez, or not?
No.
He's so charitable, isn't he?
Do you know why? He couldn't even be bothered coming back and doing it with you.
No, it wasn't his fault.
I think you'll find the fault and the flaw was with William Hill.
Yeah, the studio.
Specifically, naming names, it was Lee, the Goose, Phelps.
It wasn't my fault.
It was
horse racing's fault as a sport. The week before, the Challenge Cup week before, I think we all had losers, actually. I tell a lie. Barry, you had Wigan minus 18, so you won on that one. You had Huddersfield to win, Tez, that week, and it lost. I had Sheffield plus 12, that lost. Last week, I went Hull KR plus 16. Which plainly didn't win because they lost 34-6. So another loser for me. You had Widnes minus 16, Tez. So you love these, don't you? You won that quite easily, didn't you? 38-12 in the end. So you
I
move
on. To get on that one, Lee.
You move on to £102 profit. What are we doing with Barry? He's going to give you a void, so you didn't win or lose anything. I think that's fair, isn't it? That fair?
I just don't think you give him anything. You give him a loss.
No, not a loss.
Shut up, you idiot.
Well, the nice thing is, if you just stay as you are, you and Tez are locked on £102 each. So I think that's a nice way to go into the semi-finals.
I would have gone for Saints, though.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, if you're tied at the end of the season, I'll remember that and I'll give you the moral victory. How's that?
And who wouldn't have had that last burger or Jack Daniels, whatever.
What about this week then? Where are you going, guys? I've got three matches to pick
from. Lee Wakefield. On the handicap.
Yeah, so it's Leeds minus 8. Tez, what are you looking at?
The old favourite. I'm going to go with Wigan.
Yes, I must admit, that's that was my... I was tempted by that. I'd like to have a bet on one thing. The price isn't available yet, so will you just let me have the bet and then whatever price it is when it comes out?
No.
Why? I want to back a Sam Tompkins hat-trick.
I'll go 20 quid with you that it's between 13,000 and 16,000, and Baz will go.
I'm not doing that. It's a pound.
100 quid. Right, there you go.
This is bullying. Do you know that? I'm gonna whatever it is. I'll put it on Twitter. I know you're not on Twitter, Tez, but I'll put it on Twitter that because I want Wigan minus 26 as well. But I'll just because you're having that, I'll have a Sam Tompkins hat trick, whatever price it is.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you very much, chaps. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you next week.
Okay. Bye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.